Hi.
Bienvenidas a Super Mamás.
Super Mamás.
This is Paulina.
And this is Bricia.
And this week in our podcast, we touch on a very sensitive and important subject, teenage pregnancy.
Yes. Our girlfriend Linda Garcia is here with us today to talk about her very intimate and touching story on being a teenage mom. She's going to talk to us about her faith, her facing criticism, and really how she used all of that to fuel her to be the incredible, amazing woman she is today.
Her story is very moving, and we cannot wait to share it with you guys. Okay, listas?
Here we go.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. How is everybody?
Well, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I had to get an egg rubbed on me this morning, but other than that, I'm okay. I've been having this
huge... Can you explain to everybody what that means?
Yeah, so I've been having this huge headache.
Because you legit got an egg rubbed on you this morning.
For real.
You're not just kidding.
I've been having this huge headache for like 2 days. And so this morning, the nanny came.
Wait, who's that? Oh, the micheladas right here.
Woo-woo, micheladas.
And then I told her that I had a headache. Ever since Fernanda's birthday. So this morning when
our brother
Anita, Anita came, Anita's the lady that takes care of Sabina. Mm-hmm. I told her that I had a headache, and she told me that it was air in my head. Like, let me rub an egg on you. And I was like, okay. So she rubbed an egg all over my head and my neck, and, you know, she put alcohol.
All your chakra.
She put alcohol. And then afterwards, she like opened it in water. And then she said there were bubbles. And yeah, she took the air out of my head.
Nice. How do you feel?
I feel a lot better, I should say.
Nice. I'm glad that you came with an airless head. I'm glad that you're not an airhead today.
I do not have air in my brain today. She took
I
it all out.
I kind of have an air in my head. It's okay. So remember how I've been all like, oh, I have the perfect child. My baby is so amazing. He's leaping from 7 to 7. I love him. He's so good. He's in his crib. He's not.
I saw a picture this morning. He was not in his crib.
Oh, my God. I don't know what's going on. Like, everything is perfect for those 2 weeks. And for the past, I think it was like, since it started Sunday. I don't know why. It started Sunday. Like, hizo berrinche. And he never does that. And I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? And then he woke up at 1 in the morning. And I was like, why are you waking up at 1? But, you know, whenever I came back, I gave him the boob. He put down. I put him down and he was fine. But since then, like, now he wakes up either at 3. And then last night I was kind of like, but I let him cry a little bit last night. And I felt so bad because I let him cry. And then after I gave him a boob, I was like, you know, I'm going to bring you. You can sleep with me tonight. But it was so nice. He's like a little tit. He's like, oh, and then he puts his hand over my head.
I know. That's the kid. Why do you think it's so hard for me to let go of my
like,
baby?
I laid him right here. He like lay down and he like took Ruko. And then he like put his head, his hand in my cheek. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
That's why I haven't let go.
I love you.
Well, you still sleep with your 3-year-old? No. Well, that's another story. But he is turning 4 months, right? And there's this period.
He's still 3 months and 28 days.
Well, no, because when they turn 4 months, it's, I think it's called like cognitive surge.
Yeah. That's what they told me.
And they.
The new parenting class I'm taking.
They are actually aware of what's going on around them, and there's just too much good stuff to miss out.
Doña Elena told me that his bones were growing, so
maybe,
and that's why he feels his bones grow, and he's
really big.
I know he's eating. Oh, he's eating so much too, and
it's like a growth spurt.
I don't know. It's kind of scary for me because I get like really freaked out about not having enough milk, and ever since I started coming back to work, like. I'm not like I don't have that backup that I had.
Yeah.
So instead of like saving milk now, I'm like taking one each day from the backup supply. So that's my life right now.
Well, How are you? At some point you're gonna have to do a compromise.
I don't know.
It's hard.
We'll see.
But we'll see. Well, me.
How are you?
I am actually Sabina is sleeping on her crib.
Woo, nice.
Woo. Well, I'm doing it slowly, because like I said, you know, I'm really not ready of to let go of the cuddling.
I could see why.
Yeah.
Tonight I was like, okay, cuddle with me, spoon me.
Yeah, but I've been doing like this gradual thing, and you know, and it's been working. Now she actually likes her crib, and I put her down at night. And I just lay her there, and she actually falls asleep on her own, and she's waking up. She still wakes up, like, twice a night. But instead of me picking her up and bringing her to bed with me, I just pick her up, I comfort her, and then I put her right back, and she's fine. And, you know, mostly I started doing it because it's so hot at night that I feel like if she's next to me, she just sweats so much, and I feel like she's uncomfortable. More than her, like, it's just for her, not for me.
More for her.
Yeah, but, you know, I miss her. I do. And then in the morning... I don't know how in the morning the four of us still wake up in the bed. Krista somehow just comes in the middle of the night because she sleeps on her. It's back to normal. She sleeps on her own. She goes to bed and she just on her own, you know. So it's been great at night. But in the morning, she just wakes up at the bottom of the bed, like, in, you know, in between her feet.
In the bottom. Oh, I thought like under the bed.
No. Like
at the edge. At the edge of the bed.
Yeah, so it's been good, you know, but she's teething. Sabina's teething, so it's been up and down. And then my hair finally stopped falling off.
My hair's falling off.
I told you that was going to happen.
But now I'm like that. I'm like, look. I'm like, check it out.
I told you.
Look at this.
I told you. And you were like, nah, that's not going to happen to me. I already ordered some vitamins.
So well, I
like,
did. Okay, I've been eating. We'll see. I'm really good at taking my vitamins. I mean, I haven't gotten that, like, little peacock thing in the front.
Like me? All over my head? Yeah, I'm suffering right now because I don't even know how to do my hair anymore. Like, I don't even comb it. Like, I don't even brush it anymore. Because look, like, I look like a peacock.
You should get that, like, everywhere. Do you know that dude hair? Like, what is it called? Gorilla glue?
For real. You know when mom, dice mamá, que parece que me mordió el burro. She said.
Mom when she's like, okay, I feel like you and mom están echando la sal from a long time ago, like,
I know.
For real, like,
that's just what happens.
No, well, I mean, like, for example, it wasn't falling off until you guys kept talking about it.
Okay.
And then, like,
until I had this baby and then all of a sudden it's falling off.
No, but when mom was still here, which was like, what, 2 months ago? The baby started like sucking his mouth, mm-hmm. like just like, you know, like just putting his mouth in his hand.
Oh, he was calling another baby. That's what that means.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if it's calling another baby. That's the baby call.
Like, that's the baby call. If he's like sucking on his hand or like, you know, making bubbles, he's calling another baby.
What does she? No, but then she's like, oh, se te va a empezar a caer el cabello. I'm like, great. Thanks, mom. Thanks for the good thoughts. How about you just tell me that means you're just going to, you know, have clear skin? How about you give me something positive that's happening?
I told you.
I mean, it's falling off. It's just not like I like.
Wait for it.
No. I have it in my mind. I have it in my mind. I'm visualizing long,
No. I actually called my doctor and I went to the doctor and I was like, my hair is falling out too much. It was like, I got scared.
But you already have so much hair. Like, you deserve to have it all that.
Look at, I mean, you can't see. I'll probably post a picture.
You should please post a picture on her website.
Like, if I do it on one side, like, all of these little hairs stick on. If I do the other side, I just don't.
Why don't you just shave off like half of your hair
and then it'll grow? No, I don't believe in that.
They shaved my head when I was a baby. I keep telling you to shave Sabina's head.
No.
Look, if you were shaved her head when I told you to shave her head.
Why don't you shave Santiago's
Because he
hair?
Has hair.
Yeah, he has too much hair. You should cut it off. See?
No. You're supposed, when they don't have hair, you shave it. It's like our eyelashes.
Oh, yeah.
So our mother, when my mom was a, she was a teenage mom.
She was.
So she, when I was 3, she was 20, my mom. And when she had my sister, she was 17. So somebody told my mom that if you cut her eyelashes off, they would grow even bigger.
Yeah, we already had big eyelashes. I
would like to think. Mom says we don't. And mom is here, she's like, no es cierto, no es cierto.
No, we did.
So we had long, Lynn and I had long Minnie Mouse eyelashes, and my mom just cut them off because she said that they weren't long enough. And now...
I have to pay money for somebody to put eyelashes on me.
Eyelash extensions.
Like once every 2 months.
I'm over that already. But I have to wear Latisse at night and nothing has happened.
I've done it all. So I just decided to go with the fake ones.
But speaking of teenage moms, I mean, this is a real subject, like a real subject that is really common among our culture.
It is.
And today we're going to have one of my best friends come in, Linda Garcia, and talk about her experience and what she went through as a teenage mom, which is I don't know what I would have done.
I don't know. I still feel like I'm not prepared, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even when I got pregnant, I was 29 when I got pregnant. Too. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm pregnant. Like,
I'm not ready.
Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I started crying. I was like, oh, my God. But it worked out. I mean, you really figure out. But, I mean, Mom was 17. I know there were different times back then. But my girlfriend, Linda, is currently 35. And her baby is 20 years old.
20 years old.
So you guys do the math. and she will be coming into the studio later and talk about her experience. And,
It's an incredible story. We got an email from one of you guys out there. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Yes, thank you guys so much for writing. It's amazing when we get messages from you guys.
It's unbelievable. I never thought somebody would actually listen to the nonsense that we talk about. But we got an email from this young girl that is expecting, and she's like, you know, she asked for some advice. She's kind of confused. She doesn't know if she's going to make it. Of course, she wants to be like a good mother.
The best mom.
But she's young and, you know, scared. So,
and by young, we mean she's 20.
She's
20 years old. But, I mean, I don't think that's super young. But, like my grandma would be like, you're 20? Yeah. you're too old to have a child. You know?
I know.
But I guess for our generation, living in a place like this, especially California, it may seem like she's really young. So she's really scared. And that's what we decided. You know what? We should really call on someone who went through this and have that perspective and share with us her story. So Linda is going to be here in a little bit. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to hear her story. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
I'm so happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I feel like this is such an important subject.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, for our community, just to have, you know, it's such an important subject. Like we said, our mom was a teenage mom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it wasn't even like you don't even give it a second thought when you live in Mexico and
it's normal.
It's normal in the 80s. Like, it's like, okay, you're 17.
Si no se te pasó el tren.
Yeah. You're done. But your story was completely different.
Yes.
So, like I said earlier, you're 35.
Yes.
And your baby.
Yes. My baby is now 20. She's about to be 21 on December 31st.
No, you had a December 31st baby.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Let's just jump into it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, my parents got a divorce, and I went to live with my father. I was 13.
Okay.
12, 13. And I was just, you know, like any child when their parents divorce, it's of course very difficult. And most of the time you can tell how your children are taking it, not by things they tell you directly, but about how they're behaving. Mm-hmm. So I was really acting up. I was involved in gangs at a really young age. I, you know, became the leader of...
You would jump, I can't even
picture you like that.
I can picture you. Of course you were the leader of your gang. What was your name? What was your gang name?
It was Crazy Cuckoo. Oh my God. Awful.
But it used to be Lady Cyclone. That makes you feel better.
I was at some point. I mean, this is LA.
Yeah, right?
So you lived in Texas?
Yes. Yeah, so I lived in Texas, and I was adjusting to, I'm from Orange County. I moved to Texas with my dad when they got a divorce, and I was adjusting to the separation of my mom, adjusting to my father being a single father. My mom was no longer present. It was really difficult for him, as it was for me. And so I got involved in gangs, and I really just was seeking, I think, some sort of structure and love above all. My dad, unfortunately, was too busy with work, and it was really difficult. He was having a hard time with being a single dad. And so I found, you know, my little family, my crew, whatnot. And the first boy I fall in love with, you know, we make a baby.
But this happened right away? Like, you got pregnant right away?
Right first, away. Like, first time we have sex, and I'm pregnant. Yeah. And, you know, I found out because my breast started leaking.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God. I was at like 3 months, and I think I was still spotting, so I didn't like think periods were really light anyway to begin with, and I was still spotting. I remember being in the restroom, and I could see, like, you know, my nipples, and there was milk coming out, and I thought
that's
to myself,
crazy.
What?
Yeah, and that's how I found out. I knew, like, okay, there's only one way to produce this, right? I was terrified. Not only was I terrified, but I think a lot of the times there's this misconception with, like, MTV's 16 and Pregnant, where girls are, like, excited to be pregnant. They're almost, like, glorified, and that's something that I want to, like, move away from, and that's not what I want to communicate here today. For me, I knew immediately, wow, Linda, you really just hindered yourself from so much.
You were 14.
Yes.
We're so mature for 14.
I can't even, like, even just fathom that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I had to tell my dad that I was pregnant.
How was that?
And that was really difficult. You know, we sat down and I told him, like, I'm pregnant. And his words to me were, you need to come with me to the abortion clinic and have an abortion. No one needs to know about this. Like, let's just take care of it. And even though I was not enthused and I knew that I was treading down a really dark road ahead, in my heart, I didn't have what it took to have an abortion. For me, it was very clear. I was going to murder this child that was inside of me. And while I was not enthusiastic about moving forward, I knew it was something I couldn't do. And I don't know, like, adoption and those things, for me in that moment, it wasn't an option. It was like, this is
my baby.
Yeah, these are the consequences. It's going to be hard. I'm torn. Like, I wasn't in that moment, wasn't like connected, like you just said, my baby. There wasn't an immediate connection like that. It was like, she's my baby, but there was also a disconnect where I was kind of, I always say it was her will to live. Mm-hmm. It was her will.
Yeah,
there was something powerful inside of her that she needed to be born into this earth. And I sort of assumed the role of, okay, we're going to move forward with this because it's a divine.
For you.
Yeah. And she absolutely changed my life. That the very next day after I found out I was pregnant, I used to be the biggest troublemaker in class, like, big time. Like, I would make my teachers cry.
You're in middle school in this moment.
Yes, I was bad.
Oh, my God.
I'm in middle school.
Wow.
And I sat in the front row, and all my friends, because I was always in the back, and all my friends were like, dude, what's up with you? Like, why aren't you chilling back here with us? And I was like, enough. Enough. I'm here. I'm going to learn.
Grow your eyebrows.
Yeah. Exactly. 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 Like, you know, and shortly after that, you know, of course, I start showing. The teachers find out that I'm pregnant. And the school is like, you cannot be in this school because it sets a bad example. And we don't want the other girls to think that this is okay. And while I'm heartbroken in that moment, you know, I felt rejected.
Of course.
I felt isolated. I felt alone. Not only that, but you have to remember that at this point, my parents, my father, has disowned me because he gave me an ultimatum to either get an abortion or have the child. So I was living with Elizabeth's grandparents.
Elizabeth being your daughter.
Yes, Elizabeth, my daughter, her grandparents. And, you know, I'm facing this rejection at school. I'm facing rejection from my family. My cousins were no longer allowed to talk to me. My aunts, everyone, I was completely isolated.
So her grandfathers were... They welcomed you with open arms? Was it hard for you going in there? Or?
Yes, yes. They were very supportive and like, we'll take you in. Don't worry. But at the same time, you know, that's great, and I appreciate their support and what they did. But, you know, you have to remember that there's also this person that has been ripped, this child that has been ripped away from her family.
Yeah.
So I dealt with a lot of depression in my isolated. I didn't tell anyone. I would actually, I had this thing where I would go in the shower.
It's okay. You take your time. We knew there was going to be tears in this episode.
Yeah. And I would just pray that I made the right decision, that the sacrifices of not seeing my parents or my family was what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It was very dark. It was very, very dark. Again, I was dealing with being judged. I remember actually leaving my middle school, my last day, before I went to this pregnant school for girls in downtown area where I lived. And I remember walking out and thinking, one day I'm going to walk back into the school. And I, because the teachers, let me take it back a step. The teachers, when they said bye to me, I could tell how discarded I was from mm-hmm. society. Mm-hmm. I saw the shift. Like, you're a loser now. You're going into this pile. You know, you're
like that person.
You're part of the statistics.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You are part of these statistics. You no longer, you're discarded. And I could feel that. And I remember thinking deep down in my heart, one day I will walk back into this building and I will be a professional business woman. One day.
Good for you.
Yes.
No, you are.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember. I mean, I picked up my daughter from that very middle school as a professional executive working in TV. And I was it was such an emotional healing for me at that point. But, you know.
Did you go back to the person and be like, listen.
Yes, exactly. You know, my mom was very difficult on me. I was constantly being judged. And all of that was just fuel. It's all it was fuel. You have that combined with, like, this human being that depends on you, depends on your decisions. Those two things together, I think, can go either way. It can create a really strong mother, or mm-hmm. it can create, you know, someone that just sort of falls into a dark hole. So you can go either way. For me, I thank God that it led me in the other direction. It definitely fueled me. I, you know, went to high school and I had a clear plan of the type of woman that I wanted to become, and I didn't let what society said hinder me. Even though it really messed with my confidence and who I was, I really took the time in the shower to work on that and pray, and just pray, constantly pray to give me the strength to overcome, you know, what I was facing, and give me resilience. And I ended up being really involved in school. I had like 5 teachers that saw something in me, believed in me, took me under their wing, and I became like captain of the junior varsity cheerleaders. I was president of the drill team.
And by this time, your daughter was
Three. Yes. I mean, we can even, like, we totally jumped over even giving birth at 4. Yeah. I got excited.
No, it's okay. We'll take it step by step. But so in high school, you became an overachiever.
Yes.
So
yes.
You went from like back of the class, shaved eyebrows, yes. You know, gangbanger girl to I'm pregnant. I gotta really provide for this kid.
Exactly.
Prayed every day in the shower, and you're like, I am gonna make something of myself.
Yes.
And high school, you were with your 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and did you feel judged then? Like,
oh yeah, I was judged. I mean, there were moments where, like, when I tried out for the drill team, where the girls had a big debate before I even joined because I made the team. And one of the girls was very vocal and was like, she's a teen mom. Like, what kind of message are we sending out if we actually, like, lower our standards and let this girl on the team?
Did you ever hide the fact that you were a mom from people because of that thing? Or were you always, like, open about it?
I never hid it. It was always very open in my community. Mm-hmm. I think what I did do as I grew older is I gave people the opportunity to get to know Linda, me, so that they wouldn't, because sometimes, you know, like, you know something about someone, like, yeah, oh, they're a teen mom, and you have all these misconceptions, and automatically, whatever you believe a teen mom is, then I get to be the face of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of the times when I meet new people or get into a new relationship, I really let them know, get them to know me for who I am. And then, of course, I have, by the way, BTW, I have a 20-year-old. And they're like, what? Oh, my God. You know.
Yeah. So young. When I found out you had a 20-year-old, I was like, what? You have a daughter? And when I heard your story, I was like amazed. I was like, that is, we here at work have a lot of young mothers, and you know, they don't believe in themselves. You know, they don't. We've spoken to a couple of the girls, and they just second guess themselves so much.
Yeah.
They're like, I can't do this. You know, this is too much.
Yeah.
And I always try to tell them, like, you can do it. You know, you can do it.
Linda could do it. Linda
did. Yeah. I actually, you know, and I see the struggle within them, you know, because they're so young and they're trying to hold a relationship, you know, with the father of the kid. And then they're so young, it doesn't work out, and they get devastated again. And they, you know, they lose that confidence within them, and they're like, I can't, like, you know, I made a mistake, and now I can't get up from that.
Yeah.
And I always think about you, and I'm like, you know, you were so much younger.
Yes.
And you're this successful person now.
Yes. I think that we're so emotionally fragile, right? I think we come from, you know, I come from, my parents are Mexican, and it's normal to have, my grandmother had all her children starting at, you know, I don't know, 14, 15. All of that is normal, and that's what's expected. But then we're in an era right now where that isn't expected. So we're so emotionally fragile and sensitive to what society thinks. That's what our culture is about, you know? Where are you at? What do you do? Where do you work? You know, all of these things that we have to keep up with society. So I can see why it's really challenging to overcome any of the circumstances that young moms are currently facing. I honestly have to say that for me, what helped me pull through was absolutely, prayer. Without a doubt, 100%, just having faith and knowing that I am worth something. I'm worthy. I can contribute to this world in one way or another. And just because I'm a teen mom, that doesn't mean that I should be discarded.
Not at all.
That's amazing. So in high school, let's go back to, actually, let's talk about your birth story.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you just pop it out because you were 14 and didn't
I did walk a lot. I walked a lot. And I hated walking. I remember there were some times where I would just sit on the floor and like cross my arms and my legs and like, I don't want to walk anymore. You know, I mean, but it was like everyone around me was like, you know, women were like, you have to get up and you have to keep walking. So I did walk a lot. I went into the hospital with about 3 centimeters dilated, and I started to begin to feel the contractions. Again, this was 20 years ago. Epidural was fairly new. There were like a lot of rumors, which there still are, about the pain, and you can, you know, be paralyzed. Yeah. And
we spoke about that a little bit in my sister's birth story.
And so
your back will hurt when it's cold.
Exactly. So I'm like starting to feel like the contractions, you know, they're kicking in, and the doctor or a nurse comes in and says, you know, why don't you want to get the epidural? So I'm like, because, you know, all these reasons. And he was like, listen, if you go in your car right now, put your seatbelt on and drive home, it is more likely that something bad. Okay, okay, yes. Give me the epidural. Let's do this.
Stop talking. The traffic's coming.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, they give me the epidural. And then I could start, I remember like Don Francisco was on, I was asleep, I like started to open my eyes and I could like see Don Francisco and I could like feel the contractions again coming stronger. And I'm like, I need more medicine. So the doctor comes in and they're like, you're at 5 centimeters, because back then they would not give you an epidural if you were close to 10 centimeters.
They still don't.
They still don't. Okay. Because I think they did with my sister, but that's another subject.
Yeah. Okay.
So they come in and they're like, you know, you're at 5, you can still get, you know, more medicine. And it wasn't leaking into an IV. I think they had to, like, put it in my catheter in the back and, like, shoot it in.
They had to do it again? Like, they had to go back
like
in there?
There was already, like, a catheter, so they just, And so he like leaves. He's like, oh, I forgot the actual anesthesia, whatever. Oh, so I'm like, oh. He walks out and I'm like, I turn over to Elizabeth's grandma and I'm like, I have to use the restroom.
Oh.
And she's, and I didn't know. I'm Wait. 14. What the hell do I know? And she's like, ¿qué? And I'm like, tengo que hacer del baño, you know? And she's like, el número uno, el número dos. And I'm like, number two. And I'm going to just go right now because I can't hold it. So I'm like going to the restroom, you know?
You think?
I think. She turns pale, practically like falls, holds on to the rail of the bed, gets up, and she runs out of the room. And I'm like, I just got to take a dump. Like, relax. You know, so I'm laying there, take what I think is a dump. The doctor runs in. She's like, doesn't even get her gloves on because Elizabeth's already crowning. And I, that's like one push, two pushes, my legs get spread, lift your back up, another push. And there was this moment where her head is out and I'm looking at her.
Aww. That's the most beautiful moment.
And we just locked eyes and it felt like, it felt like there was no beginning and there was no end. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time I was seeing her, and it was no beginning, no end. It was somewhere in the middle, and I could see as far back, and I could see as far forward, and I knew that what the decision I made was the right decision. And she came out, and she didn't cry one bit. And I was like, why isn't she crying? And they're like, she's just not crying. And there's like videotape of her, and she's just looking everywhere with her big eyes, move, like looking to the right and to the left and listening to the voices, kind of like, where am I at? What's going on?
Where am I drink at?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this was actually a really healing moment recently because her grandmother at the time was 37 years old. Oh, so that's 2 years younger than me. Her grandma was also a teen mom on her dad's side. And Elizabeth, I never got to hold Elizabeth after I had her. She was given straight to her grandmother, which wow. I think I could sit here and let my ego get in the way and be hurt or sad about it, but it makes perfect sense to me as to why Elizabeth is so connected to her grandmother.
Of course.
It gives me a reason to sort of accept how strong her relationship is with her grandmother. And it also makes me think, like, you know, 2 years from now, I'm 35 right now, 2 years from now, if I, you know, have a grandbaby, I mean, I don't know. I'd be, like, super. I wanted. Whoa. Yeah, right?
I never really thought about that.
I mean, I you know, I would probably be as connected as she was. I mean, she
Give
totally
me that child.
Exactly. That was the exact, you know, and that was the beginning of the pattern of Elizabeth's life, was her and her grandmother. You know, they had that bonding moment. And it wasn't until my niece was born that I was able to heal from that, and I understood that that is why they have that strong connection. They bonded from the beginning.
Yeah. So she lived with her, not with you?
So we lived all together.
Okay.
For 4 years. And then our relationship didn't work out with her dad. And I had to leave. It was time for me to leave. I graduated from high school and I was very ambitious. I wanted to go to college. That wasn't the direction that he wanted to head in, nor was it the direction he wanted me to head in. So
he didn't want you to go to college.
Yeah, it was very challenging. I think everyone there had a difficult time with me wanting to continue on education and right. having dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I had to make a decision, and I moved out. And Elizabeth did not want to move out, and that was very difficult for me. She was, you know, almost 4 years old, and it was like, you have to do what your mom tells you. Like, you don't, you know, you can't. At that point, you have to think, I'm 18 years old, and I'm saying you have to do what your mom tells you. I'm still 18. Who's really your mom? Like, yeah. It's just a very confusing situation, you know? And Elizabeth, it's like, we're going. You're coming. You know, I have an apartment, and we're moving into this apartment, and I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get 3 jobs, and we're going to make it. Meanwhile, she has her own bedroom at her grandparents' house, and she has all of these stability. And she gets on her knees and she gets on her knees and she puts her little hands together and she tells me, please don't make me go. I stayed already too long. I had to be selfless. And sometimes as mothers, we're judged, you know, when we're selfless. Like, people don't understand. Like, what do you mean your daughter doesn't live with you? You know, it's like, talk to the hand, because you don't know. You have no idea.
You get judged as a mom, whether your child lives with you, whether your child doesn't live with you, whether you breastfeed your child, whether you give your child formula, whether your child, you know,
screams at a restaurant
whether your child sleeps with you, whether your child, you know, walks at a certain time. I mean, moms get judged, especially by other moms,
so much
the fucking time. Like, it's like, now that I'm a mom, I can see that.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, shouldn't just be like cool with each other?
Yeah.
Like, I get your struggle, can you get my struggle? Because we all struggle with different things, and no, I mean, there's not a perfect mother. I think we put something like, I think we posted something like that on Instagram recently. Like,
it was like, there's no way to be a perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. You know, we do. Yeah. I used to judge people all the time, you know, like for stupid things. Like, I'm never going to do that with my kid, or like, why is she doing that? I can't believe that. Or, but now that I'm a mom, I'm like, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what works for you. And if that works for you, good for you. You know, because you're making it.
Yes.
And your daughter is 20 years old. She's thriving. Yes. She's not, you know what I mean? You took the right decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure, I mean, just hearing you talk about it, it seems like you would do it again the same way.
Yes.
And it was worth it.
It was worth it. Absolutely. Absolutely worth it.
How did you manage to stay in her life?
It was hard, you know, because a lot of the times I think, you have people saying negative things, you know, there's judgment being passed. And sometimes as a child, you'll pick up the judgments of the people that surround you. It's easy. It's the easiest thing to do. So my role was to just be resilient and ride those waves. When Elizabeth had adopted feelings about me that I knew were not her feelings, that were other people's feelings.
Yes.
And that's really hard because you're taking a beating. You know, you're really taking a beating where you're being, you know, the most difficult thing to do is to be, you know, not only judged by everyone outside, but also by your, by your daughter, your son, your child. I just had to really be resilient through that. And sometimes I had to, you know, her late teenage years, those were the hardest. Those were the hardest. And I think as she matures, and I cannot wait for her to have her own child, because I know that that's going to bring us even closer together, where you're finally going to be able to understand, you know, you're able to understand what your parents did for you. And yes, it wasn't a perfect job, and yes, you wish it would have been different and all of these things, but you finally learn how to appreciate your parents, the sacrifices they made for you.
That is completely true. Yeah. That is true. I'm 33 years old, and I am barely, like, understanding. I grew up with a lot of grudges, you know, like, oh, I don't, you know. And now I finally understand. Like, I have my own kids, and I totally understand that my parents did the best they could with what they had.
Yes.
And we don't see that growing up.
No.
No, when you're a child, you're selfish as a kid.
Yeah, yes.
And I never loved my mom more than I love my mom. I mean, I know we joke around here a lot about my mom, but honestly, like, she's the best mom in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she has sacrificed so much of herself for us. And, you know, it's, I'm like, wow, mom, like, I can understand how much you really love me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you will never understand how much your mother loves you until you have your child.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree with you more.
I know. I think we needed more, like, beer and more micheladas here. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
What advice would you give to pregnant Linda? Linda today. To pregnant Linda now. Back then.
I think first and foremost, before advice, I would thank pregnant Linda for praying and having blind faith. Because if it wasn't for pregnant Linda praying and having blind faith, this Linda that you see right now would not be here. I would probably, you know, be living in Dallas in this routine, and I wouldn't be where I am today. So I, first and foremost, I want to thank her. And then secondly, my advice to her would be not to seek love from other people, and not to measure herself from the love she's going to receive from externally. Mm-hmm. That all the love that she needs is within, and that it's okay when she hugs herself on the bathroom shower floor and, you know, is completely desperate, just to know that, you know, I'm here with her, and that we're going to make it through, and that for everybody that talked
for that principal that kicked me out of middle school,
yes, we're going to show them.
Yeah, you sure did. You are still doing it.
And you want to have another kid?
Yes. That decision hasn't come until recently, because I was certain that I would not have another child. I didn't want, first and foremost, I didn't want to provide love to a second human being that I gave birth to.
Mother scaled, right?
Yes. I felt like Elizabeth deserves the world.
Yeah.
Because we went
through.
And
she does.
And she does. We went through so much together. She doesn't deserve half of me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until I matured that I understood that children can have all of you. You don't have to be like, the right side is for Elizabeth and the left side is for, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have healed. I'm still in the process of healing. It's not an easy journey. But I definitely feel ready to give birth to another child.
Aww. I cannot wait till that happens. How is your relationship with her today? How is it like,
amazing.
She's such a great kid. I've met her, and she's like mini you. I mean, yes. She could be your little sister.
Yes, she could.
But she's just like I've seen her videos you show me. She boxes, and you know, she's just like a little firecracker. I mean, she's a good kid.
Yes.
So how was that relationship with, like, how is your relationship with her today? How would you guys
oh, talk? Yeah.
How is that?
It's a cross between, it's so many things. It's definitely a mother-daughter relationship. There is a strong level of respect, and she's, you know, I can tell that she always wants to work hard to sort of impress me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that. It's very easy for me to validate her. I wasn't validated, so it's easy for me to correct and reciprocate, give little Linda what I needed when I was her age. So there's always that, right? My face lights up when I see her. She knows I'm happy. It's not like when I was a child and mom's like, ugh, this child again, you know? And then there's also this really strong sense of trust. Elizabeth tells me every single move she makes, without a doubt. I know everything my daughter has done. I know everything my daughter has not done. And that is a sacred space that we keep between each other. She knows she can trust me. I know I can trust her. And it's a relationship completely different from the one that my mother and I had. Mm-hmm. You know, there were things I could never tell my mom. But Elizabeth, I'm the first one she calls. Mom, oh my gosh, I fucked up. You know?
How do you accomplish that? You know, I think that's one of my biggest fears. I didn't have good communication with my parents growing up. And now I'm like, I'm like, I want that to happen, but I don't know how to do that.
Sure.
You know?
I think, you know, just right off the bat for me, I think it's really important to stay connected to your younger you. You know, you remember how old you were when, you know, sexual, you know, thinkings became within, right? When you started thinking about sex, when you started flirting with boys, when you started, like, all of those stages in your life, don't disconnect yourself from them. And don't think that your daughter is not going to cross that bridge, because guess what? She is. Mm-hmm. And if you're not talking to her, someone else will.
Yeah.
And no one is going to give her better advice than the advice that you can provide. So first and foremost, I think, is removing yourself from any denial that you might have. Oh no, my daughter. I think that's the biggest mistake that we make. It's like, you know, as soon as I saw Elizabeth, I was like, mm-hmm, girl, come here. You know? We're gonna have to talk about this, you know. And she's like, well, I think he's cute. Like, okay, well, that's nice and all, but you know, when
I was, give me the 411. Yes. Don't you sometimes wish, because I feel like with my little sister, we're 8 years apart, my little sister and I, and sometimes I wish I could open her up, give her all my knowledge, and then zip her back up and be like, okay, now go.
Yes.
You know, but it's not that easy.
It is not that easy. But I do have to say that Elizabeth and I have these, I kind of call them the spiritual drives. She doesn't even know what they are. This is the first time she's going to hear this. But we go on a car ride, and sometimes I'm like, you want to just cruise? And it's like, yeah, cool, right? And we're just like having like cruise, we're just cruising. And we get into really deep conversations. And a lot of the conversations get so deep. I've never kept anything from her or thought she's not prepared to handle this type of information, whether it's about spirituality, consciousness, the government, you name it. That little girl can talk to you about everything and anything because I have implemented all the seeds of knowledge that I have. If I learn something new and have a breakthrough, Elizabeth is one of the first persons that I share my breakthroughs with. And I find it very beneficial. I find that she does learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, because I never did that with anybody, with an adult. I just find it hard. Even when I speak to, when I talk to my younger sister, and sometimes she just comes at me with like things that I'm like, ooh, okay. You know, it's that she catches me off guard. But you're right, you know. I just have to...
just have to keep it 100.
Yeah, I just have to, like, I think it's just me, you know? It's I have to work on myself for me to do that to my daughters. And I have two girls, so it's like, and if they're anything like me,
I believe they're going to be everything like you. Don't be in denial. That's rule number one, I think. Okay,
we are moms.
We are.
Well, thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you so much for having
for trusting us. And
thank you.
And really putting this out there. I think a lot of girls are going to find your story so valuable. Mm-hmm. Yes. And healing, I hope.
Yes.
Through whatever they're going, and to know that they have, everyone has what it takes inside of them, no matter what.
Absolutely.
And whatever decision they choose to make is the right decision for
I
them.
Agree. The only thing I do want to say is that if you are young and you are not pregnant, do not get pregnant. This is not
to tell you to go and get pregnant. This is for girls who are already going through this.
Yes, that you have what it takes to accomplish really anything you want in life. But if you're not there, take your time. Be... you know,
take your time. Yes. Enjoy.
Enjoy your sleep.
Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy. Period. It's not that bad, but
it's not that bad.
But I think it's not that bad when you actually leave your stages. You know what I mean? And then you can come to terms with them because I'm sure you missed out on a lot.
Oh, I mean, I was dealing with, you know, stretch marks, and while, you know, other kids were worried about the number one hit on the radio. Yeah. And it's like,
what kind of Nikes do I wear today?
Exactly.
What kind of diapers do I buy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very different. Real. But thank you again, Linda, so much. I love you.
Thank you.
So much. You're like my sister, my everything. Again, when I heard her story, I was like, we have to bring her in and tackle this subject head on. And I hope everyone enjoyed. And we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about something different. We have my sisters and mine pick and or tip of the week, so you can say it and listen up.
Thank you, Lena.
Wow.
How do you even like? You know, how do you even follow
How do you even follow through that? My hair's falling off, man. Look at this. Linda's still here and she's eating mole. So, Linda, have you forgotten what it's like to be a young mom? Do you have any tips? I mean, like, because we're going to go and give our tip and thing of the week, but it's like you haven't been a mom in 20 years, so, and I know you're ready to be a mom right now.
I am.
What would you do the same?
You're like, have an easy labor.
Oh my God, that would be the best thing. That would
I
be
would do the same at exact same labor.
Three pushes and she's out.
Do you remember?
I remember the moment. Like, I can go right down to the moment. I remember hating breastfeeding, all of these things. I remember. It was just such a complicated situation, you know, when you're trying to decide between breastfeeding and homework.
Yes.
You were 14 years old. Yes.
No one should take my advice.
Hey, don't. 14.
Leave the homework, breastfeed.
Yes. Oh my God. Paulina, your tip or.
Well, I have a tip. I have a tip of the week. This week, I am not going to bash my mother. I'm actually going to thank her because we're going through this really, really tough teething period. It didn't happen with Krista. Krista was so easy teething.
I'm visualizing my kid having the perfect just teething period.
Okay. Just like you visualize not losing your hair.
Yes, exactly.
So it's been really hard. You know, I've used it all. I've used the camellia drops that I put on the Instagram as my pick of the week last week. But actually, the teeth didn't come out. Like, they don't, just don't. And I'm like, what's going on? She's suffering a lot. So mom told me to use the little onions. You know those little onions that we use for the carne asadas?
Oh, the green onions.
The green onions, yeah. The cebollines, whatever they call it. So what you do is you cut off the little, you know, the things at the top.
Yeah.
And then I put them in cold water with ice for a while so they can lose the bitterness. And then I give them to her to chew. And then within like a day or two, the tooth come out.
It came out?
Yeah, it came out. And so they break the gums.
They bake through the gums.
They break through the gums. And the teeth come out. And, you know, it's a relief for them because it's, you know, the pain, it's because they're trying to come out, and they don't.
Wow.
So that really helped me the first time, and I'm doing it again, and it seems like it's working. I can see the teeth now coming. And so thank you, Mom, for that tip. Aww. And I hope, you know, it works for me. I hope it works for you guys,
That's
too.
That's a good tip. My tip of the week is also a home remedy, I guess, of some sort. I stole this from my friend who posted it on her Facebook. I use my breast milk as eye drops.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, and you're like, what? That's why they're like, what the hell? What did I miss out on?
It's the perfect natural medicine.
No, so I was getting like a little like sty. I don't know, Mexico they call them perrillas. I don't know what they call
them. Did you see a dog shit?
All the time I have a dog, Diego. No, but it was coming out and I could see and I could feel it.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, go to the doctor. And I was like, no. My friend said on Facebook that she woke up with, like, pink eye. Mm-hmm. And she put the breast milk. And I was like, I'm just going to try it. Dude, next day, gone.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Gone.
Did it burn when you put it in?
No. It had no burn. It did not burn. Nothing. It's just, it was actually, I felt kind of good. I was like, just keep putting them on. I put like 4 drops before I went to bed and I woke up and my sty's gone. Yeah. I mean, wow. It was like starting to like grow. And it doesn't hurt anymore. Like my eyes completely healed. So the sty never even developed.
I've used it in other things.
And I've had like the sty in this eye before. So like I know what it felt like. I was like, this shit's coming.
Yeah.
But no. So breast milk. As eye drops.
That's no, eye way. Drops. And like if your babies have like, you know, la nariz tapada, mm-hmm. You put it in there too and it helps relieve. You can use it for anything. Breast milk is like, it's all
like
natural,
Windex,
man. It's
like Windex. Like Vaporu. So it's the new Vaporu for us. Just put breast milk on it. I know Boston's like, my husband cut his finger. And I was like, honey, you want to put some breast milk on it? He's like, yeah.
Did it work?
It did.
Yeah, I'm telling
you.
I mean,
I look at how my kid's growing because he's, my goodness, like he is big. And I'm like, this was all my milk. I mean, there must be some magic powers in there. So
of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's my tip of the week.
That's a great tip of the week.
I did not buy anything this week.
Me either.
I don't think I have bought anything. Oh, I did buy this cute. Oh, no. Backtrack. I did buy something amazing. And actually, I'll tell you guys this little quick story. So we got an email through my work, about a company called Mexico, completely non-related to the podcast at all. And I looked through the company, and we turned the business in some other way. And I saw that they have this little guayabera rompers.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. So they're actually like guayaberas, but they're rompers. Because I've actually gotten 2 guayabera for my baby, but he can't wear them until he's like 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. But these are like rompers, and they start at 6 months. And of course, I was like, oh my God. So I went over there and I bought it. And so they have them like four different colors.
You think my niece could wear them? Are they like, could they sway both boys totally. And girls?
I'm sure. I mean, they have, a, I mean, I got my baby a gray one, but they have like a
yellow,
like a yellow, and they have like a tan one. So cute. I got it in the mail. He's still a little too small for them, but I'm sure like next week he'll be like 9 months or something. So I emailed them and I was like, hey guys, so I have a podcast. Do you think that you would want to give our listeners a little discount code?
And they
said
did.
Yes. So actually, if you go out and you use our code Supermamas mm-hmm. At check out, you get 25% off the romper.
The Waya Babies.
The Waya Babies. So cute. So that's actually what I bought and ended up working out completely. I wish I could just backtrack it. And I'm like, can I get 25% off? Which I didn't, but it's totally fine.
You should return it and then buy it again.
I'm going to go return it and be like, hey, guys, let me put my discount code on. No, but anyway, we'll post the link on our website.
Yes.
But it's Waya Babies, and I'll post it on Instagram, but super cute.
That's so cute.
We actually, need to... I did buy that last week.
I like, didn't buy anything this week.
Surprise!
I know. What's wrong with me? I need to go buy some. Actually, I'm going to go buy something today because we have a birthday party this weekend, and it's theme-like. I love those because then you have to buy all the stuff for the thing. I have two. I have a ninja party and then a princess party. So then I have to get all the stuff.
Nice. I think you probably enjoy that more than your daughter. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. And again, I know we had a really heartfelt episode today. And again,
it was amazing.
Thank you, Linda. It was amazing. She's still eating her mole on the corner. It's totally fine. That's all our guests. This is the perk.
This is a perk.
It's a perk.
You want to be a guest?
Be a guest.
You get mole.
Have some mole and have micheladas. That's it. But thank you. And for all of you guys who have questions for Linda, you guys can find her on Instagram at Loose Warrior. That's her Instagram handle. We're going to post it up on our website too. And you can find her on Twitter as well. And also on Snapchat, right, Linda? We're big Snapchat people.
We are.
You can follow my sister or Snapchat. Or you can follow me on Snapchat. It's just Brisa Lopez, just like my Instagram. And don't forget to visit our website, supermamaspodcast.com. Subscribe. Please rate us. Only if you like us. Follow us. Like us on Facebook. And
follow us on Instagram.
Comment, please. Comment. Okay. So we're going to sign off. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you all next time.
See you next week. And we're going to fly off into the sky like we always
do. Super mama.